1 Thessalonians tonight, please. And we're going into the second chapter. We stayed quite a bit in the first chapter, giving some outlines and some things in that. And I was praying and seeking the face of God. We got this 1 Thessalonians going. We got Revelation going. We got 1 Corinthians going. And we're back and forth on all those. And it's always a challenge to me to find out which one God wants. And I went to bed last night studying and didn't have nothing clear. And about 11:58, I remember the time. Looked over at the clock. And 11:58, God said, and gave me some things that kept me awake a little while on 1 Thessalonians here. So we go to chapter 2. And we'll look at it tonight, and I'll give you a little bit back, a review of chapter 1, trying to get into it. We'll do a little Bible study here tonight. I pray that God will have His way, and I pray that you'll learn something and get something to encourage you. We're not just here to take up space, not here just to be heard or to be seen, but we're here tonight to get something from the Scriptures, and even in trying to expound the Scriptures, and we need to get something that we can apply to our heart and life. We can't get it applied, it's not going to help us. So we need to put it in our everyday walk and talk and contact with people. So we pray that God might bless. Chapter 2, let's stand reading together a certain few verses of this tonight, and we'll go into it. The Bible said in chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not deceit, was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God." And we'll stop right there. You can be seated and let's pray. Father, give us wisdom tonight. Help us, Lord, to rightly divide the Word of God, not add anything to it, nor take anything away from it. I pray tonight, Father, we get something to help us to challenge our heart, strengthen our soul, and, Father, put us in the right framework and form, God, to stand for You in these last trying hours, dark days, the last days, the Lord, of the day of grace. And I pray that You might have Your way in our heart and life. Lord, forgive us of our sins and our shortcomings. I pray tonight You'd take a live coal off the altar of God, lay it upon our tongue, that we might speak as we wish we had, as the oracles of God. Lord, we stand before the judgment of God. Have Your way now tonight. Touch hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And by way of introduction tonight, we've studied chapter number 1. Now we're in chapter number 2. Chapter number 1 deals with the church in Thessalonica. Now we dealt with that last time we was dealing with it. And I give you an outline for every single verse, 10 verses. And we looked through that, and I believe God blessed us. But chapter 1 deals with the church at Thessalonica. Chapter 2 deals with the ministry of Paul in the church of Thessalonica. Remember that. Chapter 1 deals with the church people and the church itself. That's established. It was established by Paul. But in chapter number 2, we see the ministry of Paul in the church. You remember this? And here's the outline I give you for the whole book. In chapter number 1, we find them waiting for the Lord. In chapter number 2, we find them working for the Lord. In chapter number 3, we find them warring for the Lord. In chapter number 4, we find them walking for the Lord. And in chapter number 5, we find them watching for the Lord. Amen. The Thessalonians, both books, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, deals with the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're second coming books. And they deal with it. And we have looked at some of that. We find in chapter 1, they're waiting. And we'll deal with that later again as we come to it. Now, in chapter number 2, we find Paul's messages, his exhortations. In our modern day, we'd call it sermons. His sermons tonight, if you look down through it and study it, how he's got them, and how every time he preached throughout all the books that Paul has given us, which is, 13? If you count Hebrews, it's 14. Wrote more of the New Testament than anybody else. And so as we study this tonight, we find that his sermons were strong. Amen. Very strong. He was not a weak preacher. Amen. Secondly, he preached straight. He didn't beat around the bush. He went right straight down the line. I believe that's the way preaching ought to be. Amen, don't you? Thirdly, I believe he preached strict. He was strict in what he believed, and he taught it and preached it and didn't back up one bit. I believe he had a backbone like a saw log. Amen. He wasn't, as the feller said, wishy-washy. He was right on target. So we believe his sermons were strict. On top of that, we believe every sermon he preached was serious, and I believe that's the way God intends for them to be in this day too as well, don't you? Now let's look at chapter 2, verse number 1, and start at verse number 1. He said this. He said, "For yourselves, brethren, know." He's talking to the saints of God. We dealt with that when we started on this a few days ago. He said, "Know for our entrance in unto you that it was not in vain." Now go back up to chapter 1 and verse 9 for a moment. I want to read a word, read that verse and get a word out of it. He said in verse 9 of chapter 1, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you." You see that word entering in? In the Greek, that same word entering in and the same word entrance in verse number 1 of chapter number 2 are the same Greek word. And that means tonight, his coming into the ministry or coming into the church, when he got there the first time. He's talking about his entrance. When I came to Thessalonica, and we'll see some things about Paul tonight, and I want to pray that God will help us as we look at this thing. Paul said, "You know, brethren," he said, "I'm just trying to get this in your mind." You see, I believe tonight that where Paul had been and then come back to Thessalonica here, I believe somebody had got out and made some remarks about Paul. You know, people like to talk about the preacher. Amen. I always say sometimes you talk about me letting somebody else rest. Well, I don't always say that sometimes. It does bother me when I hear what people say. Somebody said, "You want to hear what they say?" Usually I say, "No, I don't." But really down on the inside, I do. But I know if I hear it, it ain't going to do me no good. But people like to talk about the preacher. And I don't care if it's Paul, and nobody in this day has come up to Paul. I mean, Paul is probably the closest to the Lord Jesus Christ as anybody I've ever seen and met out of the Word of God. And I believe Paul had a tremendous ministry. I don't believe you can lay a hand on anything he did. I believe he went right down the line with it. But now studying this tonight, I believe they probably went out and said, and I believe they called him, say, "Oh, Paul's a flatterer." And I'll give you some scriptures on that tonight and we'll get down to it. Some of them may have said he's a deceiver because he's talked about not doing anything in deceit. I believe he's maybe he talked about being immoral about some things in his life. Maybe, and especially I believe he said he's money hungry. And I'll show you that out of these scriptures tonight. So they make some accusations about Paul. So Paul said, "Look, you remember when we came here. You remember our entrance. You remember when we got here the first time." And so that's what he's saying in verse number 1. He said, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain." That word vain means tonight empty, devoid of truth. It means fruitless or without effect. Paul said, "Hey, we didn't come here, and it wasn't a fruitless ministry. It wasn't a devoid of truth ministry. It wasn't an empty ministry. We had some great times. And God has done some great things." And so the Apostle Paul is trying to get this thing established with them. And so he said, "It's not in vain." But I'll tell you tonight, whatever we do is not in vain for the Lord. Amen. You believe that? Right. Amen. I believe every idle word's going to be given account for. I believe everything we do, say, or think tonight is going to be standing before the judgment, and God's going to judge it, not according to what people think or what somebody else says, but according to the Word of God. Therefore, we need to get under the shelter and under the umbrella of the Word of God tonight and walk and talk as God would have us to walk and talk. But now verse number 2, we spent some time on verse 1. Let's go to verse number 2. Now Paul says tonight, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. Now let me go back and say the words that I'm looking for tonight in Paul's ministry. Chapter 2 deals with his ministry. I gave you an outline the other day about some things about Paul's ministry. But Paul's ministry deals with these. First of all, here's the phrases I want you to watch for as we're going down through these verses. And we're going to deal with them. Number one, we've already mentioned it, not in vain. In verse number 2, bold. Verse number 3, he didn't do it of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor of guile. In verse number 4, he was not pleasing man, he was trying to please God. Amen. We're going to look at these things in his ministry. In verse number 5, he didn't have flattering words, and he didn't have a cloak of covetousness. In chapter 2, in verse number 6, he sought no glory for himself, he sought it for God. In verse number 7, he is gentle. Verses 8 and 9, he is self-supporting. Amen. He wasn't dependent on them to take care of him, although I do believe that a church ought to take care of the man of God. Amen. But Paul didn't do it for certain reasons. Amen. Some folks helped him and took care of him, but he built tents most of the time, but he didn't want to do any damage to the ministry. In verse number 10, he talked about them his preaching. He had some exhortation to live holy, just, and blameless, and he did. And we'll just break it off from there, and we'll pick up some verses as we go on down. But those are the things I want you to watch for as we're going down. So in verse number 2, we're talking about the word bold for a minute. Paul was bold, and his boldness got him in trouble. A preacher who preaches boldly get in trouble. Amen. Somebody said, I like to have a minister like Paul. Amen. Well, I've looked at some things that happened in Paul's life, and I'm not so sure I'd like to have any of that. He said the shipwreck night and a day in the deep, and in jails often, and I mean hungry often, and all that. When you get to looking at what Paul had, you say, hey, he was a great man. Yes, he was. Yea, and all that live godly shall suffer persecution. That's what Paul said. And that's right. It's scriptural. But I want to look at this. Paul started off right. If you start off right, you'll end up right. Amen. Paul is one of the ones that... You know why I like to study Paul? Because Paul didn't just start off, right to start with and then fizzle out. I done met too many preachers down through the years that started off good, looked like going to blaze the world, turn it upside down, and the next thing you know, they done blowed out. And they're sitting on the shelf tonight. God can't use them, and I don't want that. Amen. I'd hate to be like that tonight, that I have a fear of that. I preached on fear last Wednesday night. But I tell you tonight, I have a fear of God putting us on the shelf. So therefore, I want to stay with the Word of God and be able to stay in the harness and keep a going for the glory of God. Now, I want to give you some scriptures about Paul, and we'll talk about his boldness for a little bit. And go to chapter 9 of the book of Acts. Automatically, anybody that's been studying the scriptures for any length of time knows that the 9th chapter of the book of Acts is the chapter where Paul got saved. He had his conversion on the road to Damascus. Remember, he was breathing out threatenings against the church and taking men and women and putting them in prison. And actually, Paul thought he was doing God a service. He thought he was actually serving God. Because he knew God in his head. He didn't know God in his heart. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And a Roman. And he was also a Jew. And you look at all these. Roman citizen, that is. And so we look at chapter 9. I want you to turn there. We're going to read a little scripture and see how Paul got started. Now God has struck him down and put him on straight street. He got started off right. Started off straight, right? After he... Ananias went over and laid his hands on him, and scales fell from his eyes. And Paul was baptized in verse 18 and 19 of chapter 9. Look at verse 20. And straightway, he didn't take time. He didn't wait a month or two. He didn't wait a year or two. He didn't later decide he's going to do anything, but straightway, right away, he said, straightway he what? What is that word? Preached. Amen. I like that. And who did he preach now?
Christ.
Praise God. That makes a big difference, don't it? He preached Christ in the synagogues. That's the churches of the temples that they had in that day. Amen. Sometimes we make ours a synagogue. I always think a synagogue sometimes a place where people stuck up and dead and cold and dry. And then I look inside this church every once in a while and think, hey, we got a synagogue. Amen. God help us. We need to be alive. But he said in straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Amen. Now that's not what he said in chapter 1 or chapter 9 in verse 1. He is breathing out threatenings again. But now he recognizes Christ that he's fighting against and trying to fight the people against now is the Son of God. Amen. That's a definite of salvation. Nobody's ever been saved but what first has recognized that Jesus is the very Son of God. Amen. I hear people tell today, say, why, I don't believe in Christ and all that, but I'm saved. Why, you can't be saved without the Son of God, knowing He is the Son of God. Because He is salvation. He's the Savior. Verse number 21. We're not on that subject tonight. Verse 21. But all that heard Him were amazed. Yeah, I would be amazed too. Paul's been over there breathing out threatenings. Now he's preaching Christ. And said, is not this He that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that He might bring them bound unto the chief priests? Why, ain't this the same fella that run up and down the country trying to take us to jail? Amen. Verse number 22. But Saul increased the more in strength. Saul was his name before he got saved. God changed him. And confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. He got started off straight and right, but they didn't like him at the start. Amen. Now I want to tell you something tonight. When the world gets to loving Christians, and the world gets to embracing Christians, there's something wrong with us with that word Christian. Amen. If the world tonight loves you, you can't love God. You can't be at the place you're supposed to be. If we love the world, we're enemies with God. And so we tonight get to the place that we don't allow the world, at least supposed to be, to interfere with our life. But he said here, they took counsel not to talk about him, or to put him in jail, but they took counsel to what? Kill him. They despised the man of God. Amen. So you ever get somebody said, I'd like to kill that preacher? Amen. Don't get upset. It's been down through the ages. Amen. I just hope we don't kill the preacher, but, amen, especially if it's this preacher. But he said in verse number 24, he said, but their laying of weight was known of Saul. Matter of fact, let me tell you something here. You want to tell you how I believe what happened? I don't know who might have told him. You always say, a little bird told me. And I don't know if a little bird told Paul or not, but I believe it descended from glory and somehow God let Saul know. It's amazing to me a lot of times that people have pulled pranks against me and behind my back that God sometimes has come along and let me know it's going to take place. Amen. I was in a church one time and they said they're going to vote me out. I mean, it come through the community and they said, preacher, they're going to vote you out Sunday. And I said, what? I said, yeah, they're going to vote you out. And so here I had word of it. And so went to church on Sunday morning. And here come people in I hadn't seen in ages. And for Sunday school, when the Sunday school fills up, you know there's something going to happen. Something's about to go down. And Sunday school filled up. And I thought to myself, I'm a dunner. I'm a goner. Amen. I'm over. It's through. And so we just went on to Sunday school. Didn't pay no attention to it. And trusted God and amen. I thought, well, the Lord ain't going to let none the devil do any more to me than he can help. And we come out of Sunday school and that crowd had left. And they went up the road and started another church. And I thought, well, amen, well, God knows that. But God did let me know. I don't know where that had anything to do with it or not, but I know God let Saul know. So here was Saul. But their laying a weight was known of Saul and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Can you just see him? If they had them, and I don't know about that, but they had their binoculars and everything else, and they had their spies, and they're sitting over watching the gate. He's got to come out sooner or later. And when he does, we're going to kill him. Now this is just after he's got saved. He's not been in the Word long. He just got born again. Look at verse number 25. Then the disciples took him by night, thank God for them, and let him down by the wall in a basket. Amen. And he escaped them. Now he got started off. Now let's just look on at Paul just for a minute. We're talking about Paul's ministry, and we're talking about the boldness of Paul. And I believe we need to have some boldness. We need some boldness in this day. Do you believe that tonight? We need boldness to preach. Let me just give you this. We need boldness to preach what God would have us to preach. Why do we need boldness? Number one, we need boldness because of the ignorance of the people. And I'm not talking about you tonight who know about the Lord. But when there's people in this world, and this world's filled with them tonight, that's lost and undone without God, they don't know. They don't know Christ. They may have heard about Him, but they don't know Him. And people who are in that shape tonight as unbelievers, they're enemies of God. And they're ignorant of the truth. If the ignorance was erased and God give them enlightenment of their eyes and heart and mind, they could be birthed into the family of God. Listen to me. And so we need boldness. It's going to take the boldness of God to the preaching the Word of God to open their eyes. So we need the boldness to open the eyes of the ignorant tonight to the truth. Secondly, we need boldness to preach to those who are fearful. There's people tonight that are fearful of being born again. They're afraid they're going to have to give up too much. They're afraid they're going to have to quit doing some of the things that they're doing. They're afraid that they're going to have to quit going where they're going. They're afraid that they're going to have to change their whole lifestyle. The fact is, God does the changing. And, brother, He takes care of it. And they'll never give up anything. Amen. God will give them something in replace of it that's even better than what they've got now, but they can't see that. So it takes boldness to preach to people like that. And then thirdly, it takes boldness to preach to people who just plain reject God. There's people tonight that have said, I'm going to reject Him. They have nothing to do with Him. They just will not believe. And so it takes the boldness. You can't pat a sinner on the back, amen, and pet him and pamper him. I believe you ought to be kind and nice, amen. I believe you ought to be compassionate. But at the same time tonight, you can't pat them on the back with sin. You can't tolerate it. You have to preach boldly Christ. They need Christ. They don't need my philosophy. They don't need your ideas. They need the Word of God preached to them. And it's going to take boldness to open their eyes to those truths. So I'm going back now in Acts. Go to your place in chapter number 13. In Acts chapter 13, we're looking at the early ministry of the Apostle Paul. We're trying to compare it with the ministry that he's got in Thessalonica. And we'll not finish this tonight. I know we never get one finished. But anyhow, in Acts chapter number 13, when we go to chapter 13, let's go down in the Scriptures, down into verse number 50. When we get down to verse number 50, Paul's been preaching. You'll study that when you get home. He's got the opposition of the Jews. If you ever preach anything that's true from the Word of God, you'll get some opposition. Amen. I'm scared of these preachers and folks that the Bible, that people talk about, said, and the Bible even mentions this. Beware of them who are well spoken of. As a lady said the other day, and somehow I give her my debit card, and she was trying to, she said, are you Dennis Deals? And I said, yes, ma'am, I am. She said, I've heard a lot about you. And I said, uh-oh. And the lady standing over the side said, a preacher, they can't listen, they can't believe everything you hear, can they? I said, no. She said, oh, it's been good. I said, you ain't been talking to everybody. Amen. I want to tell you something tonight. You preach the Word of God and you'll cause some opposition. This book will not correspond to sin and sinners, amen, tonight. It will not. It will speak to them. It will convict them of sin. But I want to tell you, it will not make them comfortable in their sin. Matter of fact, the Word of God will make them uncomfortable. You know why an unbeliever gets mad at the preaching the Word of God? Because he gets uncomfortable. Amen. I want every sinner to get uncomfortable and come to church here and be comfortable while you're preaching on hell and preaching on sin. Why, we don't have enough spirit to shake up anything. If that's the case, the Holy Ghost of God will bring opposition, and brother, it'll bring that tonight from the unbeliever. Now, what happens? In verse number 50, chapter 13, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women. Amen. I don't know what they've done to stir up women, but sometimes it don't take a whole lot. I won't get on that subject. Amen. But we find tonight that they didn't stir up just any of them. They stirred up the devout and the honorable women. Amen. Why did they do that, you reckon? Well, that's the ones that can do the most damage. Amen. You take the ones got a bad reputation and so forth, they're not going to do much. People ain't going to pay much attention to them. But you take devout ones and those that are honorable, you stir them up and get them upset, and I'll guarantee you can get something done. I've seen that happen. I ain't been pastoring 3 or 4 days or 3 or 4 months. Out of 48 years, I'll guarantee you I can tell you some stories. And I've seen some people get stirred up. And I've seen people stir people up. And so it said here, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city. Matter of fact, got the chief men. Hey, didn't get those on low ranks. Got the ones in the high rank. Amen. Said the chiefs of the chief men of the city and raised persecution against who? Paul and Barnabas. And then notice what it done. And they what? Expel them out of their coast. Get out of here. They run them off. Amen. Now Paul's preaching. He's preaching straight. He's preaching strong. He's preaching seriously. And brother, we're talking about his ministry. And guess what happened to his ministry? They run him out of the coast. They didn't want him in there. We don't want him. Verse number 51, what did Paul do? Amen. He went down and got him a lawyer and decided he'd sue him? No. Amen. Didn't do that. The Bible said, but they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came to Iconium. Said, if you don't want to hear it here, that's fine. We don't have to preach it to you if you don't want to hear it. Amen. So let me just say to you tonight, sometimes you'll knock on a door, sometimes you'll hand somebody a gospel tract, sometimes you'll witness to somebody, and they'll receive it and throw it in the trash. They respect you enough that they won't say anything about it. But the next time you come up and talk to somebody, they're liable just to jump in on you and tell you they don't respect churches and don't appreciate nobody and talk about how many hypocrites come to the church that you're coming to and all that stuff. And if you're not careful, you'll let that bother you. But Paul didn't let it bother him. He shook the dust off his feet and kept on a-going. Amen. So just because they refuse us tonight, we should not stop. We keep a-going. Amen. Amen. You're not going to find everybody going to like what you preach and teach and give out. But in verse 52, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Now go to another place tonight, and let's go to chapter 14. In chapter 14, let's look at verses 19 and 20. We find out that Paul, he's at Lystra. And look what happened to him. He's a character. Everybody thinks Paul was such a little quiet, mild-mannered man. Amen. They do. They think that. I tell you what. I wish we all had the spirit of Paul. Amen. I used to say I'd like to have the spirit of Elijah. And I read a little bit about Elijah. And I found out some of the stuff he got into. Then I said, I'd like to have the spirit of Paul. And I see some of the things he had to go through. What we want is the good parts of Paul, but we don't want to have the sufferings. And see, we talked about that in chapter, hold your place there, in chapter 2, verse 2 of Thessalonians. But even after we had suffered, we don't want that suffering. Amen. How many of you like to be slapped around and talked about and spit on and made fun of and laid in wait to be killed? Amen. Anybody raise your hand tonight? I want to talk to you at the service. Anyhow, something wrong with you. Amen. We don't like that part. But that goes along with the territory. Goes along with it. I tell you what I do want to be. I want to be a faithful witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to be up and down, in and out, cold one day, hot the next. I don't want to be a fence straddler right down the middle. Amen. I want to be on one side or the other. Don't you? Bless God, I want to be on the right side. Amen. But I want to look at this tonight. And so we find in verse 19, chapter 14, and there came thither certain Jews. And amazing, the Jewish, and he was a Jew himself, they were against him. And now you've got to remember this is the early days of the church. We don't have so much trouble with the Jews today as we do the Gentiles because we're in a Gentile age. Amen. church, the early church, was first made up mainly, primarily, of Jews who won the Gentiles. And thank God for the Jews. Had it not been for the Jews, we wouldn't have got in. Hadn't been for a Jew, we wouldn't be saved. Amen. So think about it. So he said, and there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. They stoned him and drug him out of the city. As a matter of fact, I guess as walking around, he didn't move, as hoping he was dead and thanking God he was. But then what happened in verse number 20? Look at this. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, and I believe they probably were scratching their head and wondering if he was alive too, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And then in verse number 21, and when they had preached the gospel to that city, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch. So he just got up, shook himself off a little bit, and kept on going. Amen. Old saint says to you one night, I just don't like your looks no more. I'm tired of looking at you. And you'll go home and pout and whine about it for 6 weeks and quit going to church. And they took this man of God outside and stoned him to death and left him for dead. And he just jumped up and done what he'd always done, started preaching again. Amen. Amen. That's what I kind of want to have, don't you? Amen. I appreciate that. Now go to Acts chapter 16. Matter of fact, I want to mention this to you. Amen. I'm not going to get as far as I wanted to go tonight. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 2, don't turn there. Stay over in Acts chapter 16. He said, but even after we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know. So in other words, he's done told him the story, and some of them already know it, at Philippi. He's telling them about the story at Philippi. Well, let's see what happened at Philippi. And when you turn to the 16th chapter, and verse number 23, here's what happened. Paul has won some people to the Lord. Cast some devils out. Amen. You start cleaning up a man or a woman's household, you'll start getting them mad at you. You will. You start messing around with somebody's soul, and I'm not talking about it in a bad way tonight. I'm talking about winning them to God. And they start changing their lifestyle, and it hurts the welfare or the monetary system of somebody. They'll get upset at you, and that's what exactly had happened with Paul. So they got them. After they've been winning people to the Lord, and here's this soothsayer, and brother, God had done won her. Verse number 23 said, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Now, Paul at Philippi, what's happened to him? He's been beaten. And he's been in the stocks and bonds. Hey, that's not a very pleasant place. I've never been there. But my little imagination begins to think about it. Now, why was Paul there? Amen. It wasn't because he'd been cheating in the community. It wasn't because he'd been lying and cussing and carried on. It's because he'd been standing for the truth and preaching with boldness. He was bold to preach. Now, that's what we're talking about. Paul's boldness. So then we find that God intervened at midnight to begin to sing and pray and sing praises. And God opened up the jailhouse door. And amen. Shook the prison doors loose and the jailer come in. And he won the jailer and his household of the Lord that night. Thank God for that. So he just kept on going. You see his boldness. And then we'll give you one more. And we look at these things tonight. Chapter 17. In Acts chapter 17, verses 1, the Bible said, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica. Now you see, that's where we were talking about out in Thessalonians tonight. Where was a synagogue of the Jews? And Paul, as his manner was. I mean, it is customary. Amen. Paul's around. Hey, he's a preacher. Went in unto them and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Wasn't using a newspaper or an outline book is doing the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And verse number 4 said, and some of them believed, and some of them consorted. When you first think about that word consorted, you think you get against it. But that word consorted means they fell into unionship and partnership with him, with Paul and Silas. While some of them believed and just started joining with him and got involved. And of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. And he said, but the Jews which believed not moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. Notice this. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Hey, I'd like to be known tonight we turn the world upside down, wouldn't you? That's right. As a child of God, we ought to turn somebody's world upside down. Amen. And it won't get turned upside down until God turns ours upside down. Now, that's the reason Paul was busy. God had turned his world upside down. Going back to 1 Thessalonians, time's caught me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2. But even after that we had suffered. Amen. He suffered. Now, that suffering was a mental, physical anguish. Mentally, I understand a little bit about that. Paul not only suffered physically, they whipped him. He not only suffered in the jailhouse, but Paul had some mental anguish too. I know what that is. As a pastor preaching, you have a mental anguish on those who will not believe, and God gives you a little mental anguish on the inside too of those who have problems and trials. Hey, it's not an easy thing to have a ministry. Every church needs a ministry of some sort. Somebody said, what? Yeah, that's what it, well, you know what ministry is, don't you? It's the working of God. Amen. A minister doing things, getting something done. Amen. Some of you don't know anything about that. All you know is fold your hands, do it this way, and sing, I shall not be moved. Amen. Sitting on the premises instead of standing on the promises, we never get anywhere. We need to have a ministry. Thank God. Everybody in this building needs to have a personal ministry. That's right. And I'm not talking about where it don't correspond with the church. You get anything in it going that's against what we're standing for at the church and what God's taught through the church. Listen, it's no good. But everything God orders out or is ordered out through the Scriptures and the church. Anything that's not church-based is no good. Amen. Brother, God has ordained the church to evangelize the world. Amen. And so we need to have some kind of church base. We certainly do. And so we go out from the church. Then he said, but even after that we had suffered, he said before, and were shamefully entreated. And I don't have to explain that shamefully. I mean, it was a shame of the things they did to the Apostle Paul. He said, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. Now, I want to mention this word contention, and I'll may come back and give you some more of a verse too. But he said, he did, what did he do? He gave the gospel of God with much contention. Now, with that, you'd think sometimes it's you're contending against him, but in this word, this place where it's mentioned contention here, is that he had an agony. Paul said, I did it with more fervency than I'd ever done it. Had more agony to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. In other words, I had an emotional struggle with this thing, and I give in to just giving it all over to the Lord God and preaching the gospel of God. Amen. And that's what I want to do. Give in, and nothing would get us moved but preaching and evangelizing the world with the gospel. Amen. That's my desire for the church. That's a desire for my life. That's a desire for your life, I hope. And that's the desire that I have for you. Amen. That you go out and get the gospel out. Our job is to get the gospel out. Amen. And we do it with agony. And when I say that, I'm not talking about, you know, there's different kinds of agony. Some of you had agony because you had to come tonight. The house of God, you're agonizing with it, you see. Hoping I'll get through right quick. Amen. You agonize. But I'm talking about we do it with ever fervency in us, and we agonize to get right with God and do it right for the glory of God. That's my desire tonight. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I hope this helps you. As we look in the Word of God, we're looking at Paul's ministry. And we'll look at some more of it because this is not going to be the finish of it. We just talked about the boldness tonight. And we talked about it not being in vain. The Bible said the Word of God would go out. It would not return void, but it would accomplish that which it's been sent for. And so the Word of God is not in vain. Our ministry is not in vain. Paul's ministry was not in vain. And his ministry was a bold ministry. And that's what we need to be. Our church needs to be bold in the preaching and getting out of the gospel of God. Let's stand while they play tonight.